Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopichanda Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Teravana Chari. Yamuna Teravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna.
Nityali Rabbi Vishnum Vishnipad Balamahamsa Paribraj Gachar Jastatara Satashi Shima Bhakti Siddhan Sarasati Thakur Ki Ananta Kodi Vaishnavi Nama Chaja Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Jigosh Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivinda Shri Radha Krishna Gopagopina Shamakundra Radhakunda Giri Gaurdan Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Mayapunadvi Dham Ki Jagannapuri Dham Ki New Ramaniti Dham Ki Tulsi Devi Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Ganga Mayi Ki Yamuna Mayi Ki Samvita Bhakta Vinda Glory Symbol of Bhakti Glory Symbol of Bhakti Glory Symbol of Bhakti Glory Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga Pramananda Ki Hari Hari Bo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Well, we're reading third canto, chapter 24, verse 9 and 10. Tat Kardama Shamapadam Saraswatya Parishvitam Swayambhu Saksham Rishibir Marichadi Bir Abhyayat. Okay, translation. Brahma, the first-born living being, went along with Marichi and other sages to the place of Kardama's hermitage, which was surrounded by the river Saraswati. Saraswatya Parishitam. Purport. Brahma is called Swayambhu because he is not born from any material father and mother. He is the first living creature is born from the lotus which grows from the abdomen of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Garbhadakshayi Vishnu. Therefore, he is called Swayambhu, self-born. So, verse 10. Bhagavantang Param Brahma Satyanang Shena Shatruham Tattva Sankhyana Vigyaptyai Jatam Vidbama Jaspara Bhagavantam Param Brahma Satvenang Shena Shatruhan Tattva Sankhyana Vigyaptyai Jatam Vidbama Jaspara Bhagavantam Param Brahma Satvenang Shena Shatruhan Tattva Sankhyana Vigyaptyai Jatam Vidmang Ajaswara. Okay, Bolo. Gantam Param Brahma Satu. Bo, ladies, no ladies speaking. Okay, Bhagavantam, the Lord. Param, Supreme, Brahma, Brahman, Sattvena, having an uncontaminated existence, Angshena, by a plenary portion, Shatruhan, O killer of the enemy, Vidura, Tattva Sankhyana, the philosophy of the 24 material elements. Vigyaptyai, for explaining. Jatam, appeared. Vidvan, knowing. Aja, the unborn. Lord Brahma, Swara, independent. Translation. Maitreya continued, O killer of the enemy, the unborn Lord Brahma, who is almost independent in acquiring knowledge, could understand that a portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his quality of pure existence had appeared in the womb of Devahuti just to explain the complete state of knowledge known as Sankhya Yoga. Again, I'll read it. Maitreya continued. We're not repeating it. I'm just reading it again. I don't like that. It drives me crazy. O killer of the enemy, the unborn Lord Brahma, who is almost independent in acquiring knowledge, could understand that a portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his quality of pure existence had appeared in the womb of Devahuti just to explain the complete state of knowledge known as Sankhya Yoga. Okay, so Maitreya, he's addressing Vidura as the Kshatra Han kills the enemy. So probably we don't remember that Vidura was an active participant in fighting. So do anyone know about Vidura actually battling and killing people? Anybody? Hands raised? No. So we have to assume this is a more philosophical level, that he's the subduer of the enemy of, in general, of Maya. Okay, so of course, all of this is being quoted by Sutta Goswami, and ultimately, we have to go back to Sukadeva. So there's a purport. The Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter, it is stated that the Lord himself is the compiler of Vedanta Sutra. Brahma Sutra Padaischaiva, Hetama Birvanishchitai, several verses like that. Vedanta Krid Veda Vid Eva Chaham, Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that the Lord himself, by Krishna himself, is saying that. Comparable to Vedanta Sutra. I know Vedanta. Vedanta Krit Veda Vid. So if he creates the Vedas, the Vedas are emanating. Vedanta Krit Veda Hum, Veda Hum, Veda Hum. He knows Vedas as they are. Vetasi Vidyam. You know Vedas. Arjuna addresses Krishna also. You all that is to be known. And so there's nothing further. One who knows Krishna knows everything. He knows Vedas. But still, Krishna wants us to study this philosophy, and we can't just sit around and say, yes, I know Krishna. This is something we hear often from certain people, many people. They say, yes, I know Krishna, but they don't know much about Krishna. Taktva deham puna janma naiti. One who actually knows me, Krishna says, then when he gives up his body, if he knows me, then he doesn't get another material body. He goes to the spiritual world. So probably not too many people who say they know Krishna. I am knowing Krishna. That means they heard of Krishna. One time in Mayapur, I was sitting in the lecture in 74. So Janma Karma Chame Dibyam, probably was quoting this very verse, and boldly saying that Janma Karma, the karma is more important, the karma of Krishna, the activities of Krishna. Just the birth, many people celebrate in India, sometimes even Muslims, they also, other faiths, they think it's kind of fun, ceremony. But the karma of Krishna, what he's doing, how he's speaking in Bhagavad Gita, is more important. Therefore, then Prabhupada said, this is bold. Our temple here in Chandradoya Mandir is more important than the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because we're doing the activity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he says, Priti Bhiti Achi Jatanagar Adigram Sarvatra Pacha Horbim, that his name will be spoken, heard of, his activities at Mahaprabhu. We just heard some pastimes of Mukunda Datta and Kolavecha Sridhar today. We think about them. And Mahaprabhu had many pastimes with Kolavecha Sridhar. Also, he used to go, when Nimai Pandit was young, he used to go to Kolavecha Sridhar many times to play some fun. He would say, Sridhar, and actually nobody knew all this. This was going on before Mahaprabhu's Mahaprakash, and not everyone could keep track of what Nimai Pandit is doing. He was going to his shop. Imagine this man was very poor. He lived in a hut where the rain would come through there, and all of his clothes had knots. When there's a hole, he would tie a knot in that, and he'd try to patch up his roof. And Nimai Pandit would joke with him. He started seriously jokingly serious, however you want to say. He says, Sridhar, I know you're keeping so much wealth. You have all this opulence. He said, what wealth do I have? Actually, he had wealth because he loved Nimai Pandit. just like we heard, his when he was given benediction in the Mahaprakash, his only desire was he would only be able to meditate, think of, worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, like that. So this is real wealth. So, Bhagavantam, there's one verse in Adi Lila, the first verse. Bande Chaitanya Devam Tam. Bande Chaitanya uses this Bhagavantam. Yat Ichaya. That Kaviraj Goswami was so inspired. He said, Prashabam Narchate Chitram. He said, I'm worshiping this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Devam Tam. He is Krishna himself, Devam Tam. Bhagavantam Yarichaya. By his itcha, his desire, I am writing this Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he's Prashabam Narchate Chitram. Some, by amazing surprise, I am dancing like a fool. Prabhupada says a dancing dog. It doesn't say dog, but it says, Jado Pyayam. Jada means a fool. So he says, Narchate Chitram. Dancing like a fool, I'm writing this. And he's in ecstasy. So this word is used by Kaviraj Goswami there in his introductory verse to the 8th chapter, Adi Lila. Narchate. Wonderful. And he's dancing. So, and also Prabhupada was praying to dance, make me dance, when he was in Jaladutta writing like that. He said, I am simply a puppet. I don't know why you brought me here. So, only we know that Prabhupada is the closest thing to Kaviraj Goswami. So pure. Vishuddham. Bejre Muniotagri Bhagavantam Adhoksajam. Krishna is Adhoksajam Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Adhoksajam. So here's, we'll continue with the purport. Vedanta Sutra. Similarly, the Sankhya philosophy is compiled by the Supreme Personality of God in his appearance as Kapila. Bhagavantam. So Kapila's Tattva Sankhyata, in the beginning of one chapter there. Kapila's Tattva Sankhyata. He has explained, propagated this philosophy, Sankhya Yoga. Of course, Sankhya Yoga includes Bhakti. Bhakti includes Sankhya. Etam Sankhyam Cha Yogam Cha. In the fifth chapter of the Gita, Krishna says very clearly, he says, one should not think that Sankhya is different than Bhakti. No. One who knows Sankhya, he should know Bhakti. One who is Bhakta, he should be Sankhya. Some reason in Gita, it's chapter 6 is, in the old Gita, named Sankhya, but actually is not named. Sankhya Dhyana. Sankhya is dealt with there in the fifth chapter, though. Okay. Prabhupada again says in several places, there is an imitation Kapila. An imitation. Most of us never heard of Kapila. What to speak of imitation Kapila? I think I Googled it one time, and they also mentioned there's two Kapilas. So, whether or not Google knows the difference, they should know, ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha. They should know, if they're that smart, Google is very smart, all-knowing. So, imitation Kapila, who has a Sankhya philosophical system. Wow, who would have thought that some guy named Kapila. You know, sometimes we also hear there's two Buddhas. Not that one is bogus, but there's one Buddha and another Buddha who's actually incarnation, but he's not considered. Actually, a long book was written talking about these two Buddhas and what is the difference. And under the direction of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Prabhupada Sannyas Guru Bhakti Kesh Pragyan, he had written one book, Vaishnav Vijay, in explaining that he doesn't talk about Kapila too much, but he talks about the two Buddhas. We don't think one is bogus, so one is the incarnation, one is a great personality, have some avatar also. But in this case, is a bogus Kapila, and Prabhupada is sort of making sure that he will be forgotten, you know. He's mentioning him, but his philosophy is not taken up. Maybe there are some bogus academics who don't know the difference, but Prabhupada's careful to point out the difference here. But Kapila, the incarnation of God, is different from that Kapila. Kapila is son of Kardama Muni. There's one devotee, he's a very good artist. I met him, his name is Kardami Kapila. Kardami Kapila. So that would designate that he is the son of Kardama Muni, Kardami Kapila. He very explicitly explained not only the material world, but also the spiritual world. Brahma could understand this fact because he is Swarat, almost independent in receiving knowledge. He is called Swarat because he did not go to any school or college to learn, but learned everything from within. Tene Brahma Hridaye Adikavaye. He's called Adikavaye because he's the Adikavi, means the very learned, also means poet. So Brahma is called there, Tene Brahma Hridaye Kavaye Muhyantiyat Soraya Tejo, Tene Brahma Hridaye Kavaye Muhyantiyat Soraya. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, that he understood Brahman, or this within the heart, Tene Brahma Hridaye Adikavaye Muhyantiyat Soraya. But many demigods are Yomama Jamanadi Cha Veti Loka Maheshwara. In the beginning of the 10th chapter of Gita, Krishna describes that even the devas are bewildered, even sometimes Brahma's bewildered, but many devas are bewildered because they are created by me, Krishna says. Therefore, they become bewildered. Many times in Bhagavatam, devas become bewildered. They don't know why. Chasing after somebody's wife, or even Brahma becomes, he shows some example. There's some morning walk where, because we read about it, or we already read about it, that Brahma chased his daughter. So how could be, that's like the most bewildered thing you could think of, that he's attracted. But this is a very high level, his daughter and Brahma himself. So one devotee was asking Prabhupada that, how do we understand that Brahma's pure devotee, he chased his daughter, what is this? How do we understand? It's very bewildering. So he said, so why you bring that, Prabhupada? Said, why do you bring that up? This is not the example, is that even Brahma chased his daughter, not that Brahma chased his daughter, therefore I should chase my daughter or something like this. No, that the example given by Brahma is that this material energy is so powerful that Brahma even chased his daughter. He gave up his body, became the twilight, which the asuras take as very important because it brings on material desires in the evening. It's not a good time. So therefore, Brahma was definitely bewildered. He was bewildered. Vishnu Sammohayam. You read that, Brahma's prayers. He bewildered himself by trying to take the coward boys and calves from Krishna. So it's described there. Then he offered so many prayers. He's offering all our prayers every day. We're reading, practically every day, we're reading the prayers of Brahmaji. But he's very compassionate. He's our acharya, after all. In his prayers for creative energies, praying not to become bewildered. Not to become bewildered, and how he'll create the material world without thinking that he is the doer, without thinking he's the doer. So Brahmaji is very happy, very ecstatic. Kapila Deva will appear and they have chapter starting in the next chapter 25. I don't know the last time people have picked up the Bhagavatam and read through Kapila's teachings. Any hands up for recently reading it? No, it's very, very tough reading, very ecstatic when you read it. But some of it is difficult reading, explaining again and again in different ways. Only the personality of Godhead can explain. And Devahuti is asking very amazing questions. And from the very beginning, she asked, how is it that this material energy, can be separated from the living entity? How can he break it off? So that's not an easy answer, is it? You can just say asango yayam, that the living entity is not material, therefore, okay, that's nice, but we need to be slapped and cut and beaten, just like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, in the morning, you beat your mind 100 times, in the evening 100 times. So did we do that? Well, but some people are. We get up, we chant, have kirtan, mangal arti, param brahma, param dhamma. When Arjuna was speaking this, param brahma, here we see the word param brahma. Param brahma, param dhamma, pavitram, param uttamam, patak, what is that verse? Pavitram idam. Huh? Yes, purusham. Adi Devam Ajan Vibhum. He was praising Krishna with these very words. Param Dhamma Param Brahma Pavitram Idam Uttamam. You are the most pure. Pavane Bhyopi Mangale Bhyopi Mangalam. Pavanam Pavane Bhyopi Harinamai Vakipa Kirtanam Kevalam. The holy name is the most pure. Shudo Purna Shudho. So we want to attain this stage of Shuddha Bhakti, Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu. Our only objective in this Hare Krishna movement is to become purified. So we try to take advantage. So when you count 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, six chapters, then 31, 32, 33, six and three, nine chapters of Kapila Dev. So I just tried to read through it quickly, and I thought, this is a joke. You cannot read that quickly. You cannot, every verse, Tibraina, one line, Tibraina Bhakti Yogena. Prabhupada said, two lines of Kunti Devi's prayers is more than the entire length and breadth of all Western philosophy. Two lines, when she says, two lines that. Karma, what is that verse? I forgot it myself. But when you read it, you'll see. So he says that we're suffering due to this ignorance of knowing anything about our karma, how we got here, everything ignorant. We're born ignorant, bodha jata. So therefore Kapila's instructing us in very detailed way. I think chapter 28, where he directly describes Vishnu, which we can take also, just like Krishna has more than, but this is described, Sanchintayad Bhagavatas Charanaravinda. That here's a succession of instructions, how to meditate on Krishna. Now he's speaking Vishnu, not that we don't think of Vishnu, no. All these attributes are there. Vishnu sweet, but in Vishnu meditation, he's giving every detail like that. Sanchintayat, one should think, Sanchintayat Bhagavata. Not of nothing. Not like Mayavadis. Throughout the chapters there, Prabhupada decries Mayavadis. Sometimes you think, wow, Prabhupada's giving so much advertisement to these Mayavadis because they are foolishly thinking they are one. It's like, even if they say Gyanam Gayam, that the knowledge is merged, the object of knowledge, the meditator, and the knowledge itself, they finally become one. The word is used by Kapila Dev, ling, lina, means subtle or merged, that we're merged in this material energy. So Prabhupada points out, if the Mayavadis say that this merging means we become one with Krishna, then we say, well, how do you know that? If you become merged, you cannot know anything. You cannot know it. That's why you're speaking. If you're merged, you should float away in the sky. Then you wear a cotton ball. If everything is one, you don't wear a blanket, you'll wear a cotton ball. I have to think one time there was this Mayavadi who took over the temple in England. Somehow or other, the management was very foolish or something, or let's just say they were falling asleep at the wheel. So this Mayavadi, he had taken Prakashananda, a great name, Prakashananda. So he was giving lecture. He had his own followers, and they even took over the kitchen there. And they had cups with lipstick on the cups in the kitchen, in the deity kitchen. So very foolish thing. So then the managers went away somewhere. And then the some devotees there who were leaders, they asked me to challenge this guy. And I was like, what am I going to challenge? This guy has followers, you know. But they insisted. So I said, okay, let me try, you know, because there was a big meeting every morning with his followers, maybe 50, 60, in one big room. So I was sitting in the middle of these two friends of mine, the devotees, and one was on one side, and they kept elbowing me from each side. Go on, challenge him. And I'm like, what am I going to do? We're supposed to question this guy. And give people, his followers would give little pieces of paper and with a question about Bhagavad Gita. So he was explaining Bhagavad Gita just like a textbook Mayavadi. We will become, moksha means become one, you know, like that. So he didn't call on me, so they kept elbowing me from either side. Go on, just yell out, yell out. So I said, so what is moksha? And he said, becoming one with Krishna. So then I had to quote something, klesho dikataraste sham avyakta shakta chetasam. So then he became very angry. He started getting disturbed. He said, you invited me here. I didn't really invite him here. We didn't invite him. The leaders had invited him, then gone away. He said, you invited, now you're insulting, you know. I am, all of my followers are greater devotees than anyone in your ISKCON. Like he was saying, like this insulting thing. Kind of a funny Mayavadi guy. So then I said something loud, and he said, no, don't become angry. You are supposed to be a sadhu. Why are you getting angry? So this is a typical thing. I've seen this many times. So then, I don't know who would tell the story beside me. I don't want to make it sound like I'm some big hero. But so then I started really yelling at this guy and saying, no, I'm not angry. You're not angry, right? You're not angry. You're a sadhu. How can I be angry? You're not angry. We're one. So then he didn't know what to say, you know. So anyway, this Mayavad philosophy. So I used it on him, but I was really screaming at him at that time. You know, you're not angry. How can I be angry? We're one. So then his followers started getting around me like they were going to. There were some Sikhs there. They probably had some daggers or something. So then they pushed me out of the room and locked the door. And then, but then it was very funny in a way. It was kind of funny. But Jagat Purushi was there, and he, very expert with dealing with Indians, lived in India a long time. His ex-wife was Indian. Anyway. He stood up and said, oh, Shanti, Shanti, you know, and you know how he described the Battle of Kurukshetra, how they were fighting, but in the evening they were all speaking amicably, sometimes anyway, the way Prabhupada describes it. Anyway, so then they were cooled down, but the funny part was, yeah, so becoming one is not a practical thing. Bhaktas are not interested in this. Shloka Sharsti. Kapila Devi even describes Shloka, this verse describing the four types of liberation. Diamanam the Grinanti. Binamat Sevanam Bina. Without service, even going to Vaikuntha with the four types of liberation, Sarupya, Shalokya, Sharsti, Samipya, they're not interested even in that. They want service. They don't even want to be in Vaikuntha. So this is also another direction of Kapila Devi. Karmana daivane prena jantu deha papataye. So Devahuti was asking very intelligent questions all along, very super. We may not think of such questions. How the living entity? So he's describing dhi brain, a very strong detachment. Prasangam ajaram pasham atmana kavayo vidu. So eva sarashu krito. One should make his attachment only with the sadhus, satam prasangam, another famous Kapila Dev's verse that we often should quote. We hear it. Satam prasangam mamavirya samvido, mamavirya samvido. Tadvirya gaina, this word virya means virile. We have this English word virile. It means it's potent, powerful. Satam prasangam, when one makes association with the devotees. So he's proclaiming that again and again, Kapila Dev. One should make association with the divine. Satsangama kena, sukabahena, kutajano yena, kashavi moksha. So this desire for moksha will be reduced to nothing. Moksha laguta quit. He also talks about engaging yukta, yukta vairagya, like Rupa Goswami has given the essence. He's quoting, he's also quoted many verses from Gopiladev in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Nana shastra vacharanaika nipano sadharmas. Our Sad Goswamis have established Sad Dharma. Nana shastra. They studied all the shastras. We have no brain to study all the shastras. Some of our men in modern times, they learn Sanskrit, or they're born into very pious families. They know Sanskrit, and they still, they're always giving respects to Sikh Goswamis because they read all the shastras. Just imagine Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he knew so much shastra. They say he knew 300 shastra by heart. That means every shloka, at least in Radharaman temple, they say like that. That when he came, he didn't have so many books. He came to Vrindavan, but he was Gopal Bhatta. I mean, he had association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 4 months in the rainy season. And his uncle was his guru, our Prabodhananda Saraswati. So Prabodhananda Saraswati, what we can read Chaitanya Chandramrita, so many shlokas glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Radha Rasa Shudha Nidhi is written, his Vrindavan Mahimamrita, such a great person. And his disciple is Gopal Bhatta. Jiva Goswami offers respects in his Sandarbha's first verse to Bhatena, meaning he didn't want to be glorified, Gopal Bhatta. He didn't want to be mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is that. Such humble, great persons. But still, Jiva Goswami figured a way to sidestep. He just refers to him as Bhatena from South India, so you can do the math or connect the dots that he's glorifying him. But he said that he has made so many notes, and I'm just stringing, he calls it Sandarbha, means to string things together. So I'm putting these things together. He's not even taking credit, Jiva Goswami, written such high philosophical work, but he's giving all respect. So these six Goswami, Nana Shastra Vicharana, they studied Nipino, they were experts. Even Raghunath Bhatta, we don't have books by him, but he was so expert just in speaking Bhagavatam, and Rupa Goswami was listening. We hear that Rupa Goswami would fall into a trance. He wasn't even breathing. He was in so much ecstasy, exhibiting this Satika Bhavas just by hearing. All we hear that he didn't disrespect anyone. Raghunath Bhatta, if somebody was blaspheming or criticizing, he would go away. He didn't criticize that person, say, why are you criticizing? No, he just went away. He would go away. And so, still, he was such a great personality. So they have studied these shastras, this Kapila Dev, all these things they absorbed. Nipeno, Saddharma, and they didn't just absorb it, Saddharma Samstarpako. They established the Dharma. Yuga Dharma Palo, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nityananda, they are protecting the Dharma. They were fully surrendered. Shri Gauranga Gunana Vana Navido. Shada Sang Rang Sang Sang Vido. They imbibed all of Gauranga's teachings within the heart. So they're giving directions for this Kali Yuga. Samstarpako. Nana Shastra Vitaranaikanim. So Dharma Samstapako. What's the next line? Lokanam Hitakarino. They didn't do for their own armchair. Lokanam Hitakarino. What is it? Therefore, Shadhan Samridhyan Vito, Pujito. They're worshipable by everyone in the world. Lokanam, because they're benefiting the whole world. Hitakarino means they're. Hitta means, hitta kamyaya, like Krishna is saying. I'm doing it The demons are doing everything to destroy the world. We can see it very clearly now. We have all kinds of news report every day. If it puts some money in my account, I get a new something gold, and millions of people are dying just so they can get. I don't care for anybody. Etam drishtam avashtabhyanas atmano alpa buddha, because they're alpa buddha. Buddhi yogam tam, the dhammi buddhi yogam, those who are full buddhi, they are fully Krishna conscious. Not alpa buddhaya. Their vision is lost, that means they're blind. Devahuti says, blind, I am blind. She said, she's not blind, but she's saying, on our behalf, tamandasya. So you should be like the axe and cut away my attachment. We don't, Devahuti is so attached. Well, she, even if she has a small attachment, she's saying that. But in this material world, everyone is fully attached to this material world. So Kapila Dev is giving very detailed, you know, and those in the mode, they're even doing devotional service can be done in the mode of ignorance and passion. He's describing in detail, all the, finally describing adverse fruit of activities, how you'll go and to hell, and what will happen, and the baby is offering prayers in the womb. This is all given by Kapila Dev. Much more. Every day we should be Srimad Bhagavatam, Eka Bandhu, only friend, Madhana, my only wealth, Asadhu, Sarutta. Where Asadhu, Sanatana Goswami says, Sadhu, dying, it's giving us our good qualities, Bhagavata. And it's purifying. Satyam Vishuddham, Kshemaya. Vishuddham, Krishna is Vishuddha. And we're meant for coming to this stage. Okay, let me finish this purpose. Every living creature, Brahma acquired knowledge directly from the Lord. Another important point stated here, sattvenam ksena. When the Supreme Personality of God appears, he brings with him all his paraphernalia of Vaikuntha. Therefore, his name, form, qualities. This is so described by Bhaktivinoda, Jive Doya, Krishna Chaitanya. Jive Doya Kore Saparshara Sviya Dhamma Sahavatari. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come not in alone, but with all his expansions. Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam. So he's coming, and that's described by of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, so his quality, paraphernalia, and his entourage all belong to the transcendental world. Real goodness is in the transcendental world. Here in the material world, the quality of goodness is not pure. Rajas Tamas Chabibuya. You read that in the 14th chapter of the Gita, described in detail. Rajas Tamas Chabibuya, Sattvam Bhavati, Rajas. Sometimes Tamagun is more prominent, sometimes Rajagun, sometimes mode of goodness, they're overtaking one another. And then description is given how someone is purely in a mode of goodness approaching. So one has to come to this point. And then ultimately, pure goodness. Goodness may exist, but there must also be some tinge of passion and ignorance. In the spiritual world, the unalloyed quality of goodness prevails. There, the quality of goodness is called Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness. Another name for Shuddha Sattva is Vasudeva, because God is born. Vasudeva Shabditam, Sattvam Vishuddham, Vasudeva Shabditam. The Lord Shiva is meditating like this, and it's described about him. Vasudeva Shabditam. Vasudeva is Krishna's father, and Vasudeva is Krishna. This is a Sanskrit, Vasudeva. Sometimes people are saying interchangeably Vasudeva, but this is Vasudeva is the father, so here it's described. Vasudeva sarvamiti bahonam janmanamante gyanamam prabhajyate. After many births of being knowledgeable, one finally, so Prabhupada said, why waste your existences? Immediately come to this point. Don't become gani. described in the sixth chapter of the Gita how after many lives as a Gyani, like that, that Gyani no Priyo, that the Gyanis are very dear to me. I love the Gyanis because the Gyani can understand after so many lives. Manushanam sahasre kaschid yatatam api siddhanam mam dubeya kaschid. Only one will come after many manishis, those who are thoughtful, Vasudeva, will understand that Vasudev is everything. Vasudev, the son of Vasudev. So Prabhupada said, why wait so many lifetimes? Immediately come. Kechit kevalaya bhakti Vasudeva parayana. Vasudeva, this is described in the sixth canto. Vasudeva parayana. Okay. The word angsena also indicates the personality of Godhead. Krishna appeared as Kapiladeva in a portion of his portion. God expands either as kala or amsa. Angsha means direct expansion, and kala means expansion of an expansion. Rama adi murtishu kala niyamena tishtana avatara makaror bhuvaneshu kintu. Krishna swayam samabhavat. So there are many appearances of Krishna. Ram, beginning with Ram, he's mentioned first by Lord Brahma. Ramadi. Adi means beginning with Rama. He's very important, prominent. Ramadi Murtisho. Then Dipacha Revihi Deshantram Abhupecha Dipaite. The lamp. If you have one lamp, many lamps, you can't even see which lamp lit the other lamps. But there's the original lamp. Krishna Swayam, Samabhavat. Analogy is given by Lord Brahma. Expansion of the expansion. There's no difference between the expansion of the expansion, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly, as there is no difference between one candle and another. But still, candle from which the others are lit is called the original. We call the original. Krishna is therefore called the Parabrahma, or ultimate Godhead and cause of all causes. Sarvakarana karanam. Chaitanyakyam param tatvam sarva karana karanam. Chaitanya Upanishad also directs that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also cause of all causes. Chaitanyakyam, he's called Chaitanya. Chaitanyakyam param tatvam, this tatva. So he's giving all tatvas. Okay, so we have any comments, questions?
Thank you, Prabhu. I have a question about the two kapilas. Are they completely in isolation of one another, or did they actually meet at some time and debate different points?
Who in isolation? The modern bogus kapila. I don't know if he knew about the original kapila and he decided he would be a kapila. You know, just like Pondraka. He was right there with Krishna, who in his form as a kshatriya was called Vasudev. And then he was saying, he wrote a letter, right? He wrote this letter saying, you should surrender to me, I'm actually Vasudev. And everyone was laughing so hard, like, you know, that they were rolling on the floor, described. They laughed very loudly for a very long time. So he may have known about the original Kapila Dev, but obviously he didn't appear millions of years ago or anything. He's a modern, I don't know exactly when, but yeah. Now, what you're saying is, yeah, he might have known about the original Kapila Dev and put forward this philosophy, so I don't know that much about it. I don't really want to read about it that much. When I can read Bhagavatam, the nine chapters describing, giving all the teachings of Kapila Dev, we don't really, but you know, what he said, and we don't know, I don't know. There probably somebody who studies this, but not me.
So the purpose of Shankhya was it to analyze the elements and then arrive at Super Soul? Was it the purpose of...
Well, more than Super Soul, because, you know, a picha darshanam, Shashvat Prashantam, described there by Kapila Dev, that Krishna is very beautiful, the most beautiful. He actually talks about Krishna, but he talks a lot about Vishnu meditation. So, yeah, that's also super soul, if you meditate, but it's beyond the super soul, thinking of Vishnu. It's because the super soul can be, you can sort of meditate on super soul without really knowing much detail, and that he smiled, what is that verse? Hasitabana loka tibra. Because super soul doesn't exhibit, I mean, he was describing that, I only heard the beginning of his class, a very nice, yes, in the Sunday feast about the super soul, that he's just sitting, udasina, you know, there's just objectively sitting there. But Kapila Dev is describing that he's anukampa, he's full of mercy, avanatakila loka tibra. Shokashu Sagara Vishoshana Matyudara. He's describing there, for those who bow down to him and see his beautiful smile and bow down to him, Shokashu, who are suffering. Shokashu means that ocean of tears. Oh, Shokashu Sagara. He's very compassionate. So for this philosophized super soul is different than this, just a kind of a super soul, yeah. You can see that everyone is, that's a realization, nothing wrong. What's that verse in the first canto, the famous verse? Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavati shabjade. So, but the meditation of Vishnu is above this type of super soul. Shokashu sagara vishoshana matyudara. He dries up the ocean of tears for those who meditate on his smiling face. Jyotsna birahata mahadridyandu andakau. What is it? There's the darkness in the heart, and it's one of the first meditations that Kapila Dev is giving, that one should meditate on the lotus feet, that the feet, Vajrankusha, the different symbols are mentioned there, the elephant, goat, and the lotus, all those things, Lanchanad. And he says, for that person who meditates on the feet, then it says, Hridayand, the darkness in the heart is dissipated, like that. Different great verses there. Samchintayad Bhagavata Charanaravinda. So, what was your question again?
Well, you answer. I mean, when he was analyzing the elements, the reason was to come to the conclusion, well, there's the supreme and super soul.
Yeah.
But also there's like a whole chapter of him explaining in details the supreme person beauty. You know, well,
that's from, a 28, from, that's a chapter, yeah. I'm quoting. But yeah, throughout the other chapter, 26, 27, 20, all these chapters, he's explaining in different ways that even the transcendentalist can also understand that his body, mind, he has the same body, mind, and intelligence as the mundane mind. But these things have to be utilized. Anasakta Vishayan. That's why Rupa Goswami brings this conclusion. He quotes those verses, but he also Anasaktasha Vishayan, Yatharma Payanjata, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha Yukta. And therefore we have to, how he gives in the modern age, and then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta could understand that, understand, therefore he can come to Radhakund in an automobile, right? In 1930 something, you know. Everyone's, oh, sadhu is in the automobile. No, he quoted these verses for Panchakataya Bhujha Hari Sambandhi Vastuna Mamukshabo Parityaga. One should not artificially give up. This is Falgu Vairagya. Yes, you're giving up because you have no knowledge how to engage in this material world. So Kapila Dev is giving this idea, but Rupa Goswami is giving in Kali Yuga, and then Srila Bhakti Santa saying, this is it. No. Sadhus don't have to just sit in a hut and do nothing. No, we have to preach. And therefore, pranarata diavacha shreya charanam sada. Utilize your life, prana artha, all your wealth, pranartha dhyā, all your intelligence and your speaking. So, yeah. Yes.
Prabhu, you were mentioning at the start of the class about bhakti and sankhya being the same. I was wondering if you could more elaborate on that, what you expressed.
What was I quoting?
Not what you were quoting, but maybe you could elaborate a little bit on how bhakti and sankhya, we'll be hearing sankhya philosophy, and so how are they how are they same?
Ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha. So that's probably explains it here. 5, 1 and 2, I think 5. Let's see, 5. Okay. It's not 1 and 2. It's more like it's in the beginning though somewhere. Sankhya Yoga Pritak Bala. Bala refers to a child, or in this case, it says less intelligent, right? So this is 4, 5, 4. Only the ignorant speak of devotional service as being different from the analytical study of material world, sankhya. Prabhupada said sankhya literally means counting. And he gave the example, what is that verse about the six Goswamis? Sankhya, Purvaka, Nama, Gana, Adibi, means that they were counting their obeisances. They were doing a certain amount of obeisances. They weren't just doing, if they did 1,000 or they chanted so many rounds that they were regulated, sankhya. So here, and he said that the example is like the geologists, they study the layers, like say the Grand Canyon. Prabhupada talked about the Grand, I think he mentioned the Grand Canyon. So especially like a place like the Grand Canyon, there's so many layers of diverse layers, thousands of years, thousands, millions of years of buildup of different layers, the stratum, and then they decide, they count it. So he said, this is a perfect example of modern scientists, how they are like, they're Sankhya yogis, but they have no relation with Krishna. They're just counting it. Sometimes they're bewildered that one layer is there, but it should have been like millions of years above this other layer. And then they just go on bewildered like that. They go, how'd that happen? Or they'll find some implement. They'd find a cave in the middle of the Grand Canyon with Vishnu in it or something, and they go, wait a minute, isn't that me? Then they just cover it over. This described by Drudakarma and Sariputta, that these things are found, you know, by the Sankhya scientists. Of course, they're not following any regulation, but in the modern sense. So there's no bhakti there. They're just counting. Something. Anyway, this Gita is explaining here, those who are actually learned say that he who applies himself to one of these achieves the results of both. Whoa, ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha, or no, in this case it says, that's the next verse. Ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha, yapashati, he sees, yapashati, this verse that I'm reading is number 4, ubayar vindate palam, ekam apyashtita samya. Completely, he knows completely, and he gets vindate, means he enjoys palam, the result of both of them. The aim of analytical study in the material world is to find the soul of existence. The soul of the material world is Vishnu, or supersoul. Devotional service to the Lord entails service to the supersoul. One process is to find the root of the tree, and the other is to water the root. The real student of Sankhya philosophy finds the root of the material world, Vishnu, then in perfect knowledge engages himself in the service of the Lord. Therefore, in essence, there's no difference between the two because the aim of both is Vishnu. Those who do not know the ultimate end say the purpose of Sankhya and Karma Yoga are not the same. But one who is learned knows that the unifying aim in these knows the unifying aim in these different processes. One who knows, this is number 5, one who knows a position reached by means of analytical study can also be attained by devotional service, who therefore sees analytical study and devotional service to be one and the same level, on the same level, sees things as they are. The real purpose of philosophical research is to find the ultimate goal of life. Since the ultimate goal of life is self-realization, there's no difference between the conclusions reached by the two processes. By Sankhya philosophical research, one comes to the conclusion that a living entity is not part and parcel of the material world, but of the Supreme Spirit whole. Consequently, the spirit soul has nothing to do with the material world. So Prabhupada's summarizing Sankhya philosophy in his purport here. And then you can find more if you read Baladev or Vishwanath, different purports, commentaries on the Gita. But then, of course, you read the whole Kapila, 9 chapters. And there's a lot there, you know. It's like, you can really get your mind around it. It takes a couple lifetimes, I would say. Consequently, the spirit soul has nothing to do with the material world. His actions must be in some relation with the Supreme. When he acts in Krishna consciousness, he actually is in his constituted position. In the first process, Sankhya, one has to become detached from matter, and in the devotional yoga process, so that material scientists are a joke because they're performing some Sankhya, but they're not coming to any conclusion, not even a philosophical one. They're just like studying, you know. So many butterflies migrated, so many birds did this, so many, you know, bugs did that, you know. There's nothing there. So here, factually, both processes are the same, although superficially one process appears to involve detachment in the other process. So they don't come to any detachment. Material scientists, sometimes they'll say, oh, it's so amazing thing. Etam vibhutam yogam cha mama yoveti tattata sovi kalpena. Like all these vibhuti, this verse is given before the nutshell verses, this Param Brahma verses also, that one who knows the vibhutis. So Krishna's already described vibhuti in 7 chapters, some verses, and 9 chapters, some verses. And then Arjuna wants to know more. And Krishna's saying, yes, one who knows the vibhutis, these amazing things. Then, so sometimes a material scientist can become like a Sankhya yogi if he follows principles and he realizes, wow, this is something amazing. They're counting the stars. You know, every time they go up in the microscope and they see there's billions of other universes, billions of galaxies, but, you know, it's like mind-boggling. What can they say, you know? We have one little tiny speck of Earth. We're the center of the universe. We're nothing here, a dust particle. So then they can come to some conclusion. Detachment from matter and attachment to Krishna are one and the same. One who can see Vasudev, what is it? Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga Pray, Janayatyasu Vairagyam. By bhakti, one automatically attains vairagya, jnana, and knowledge. We're getting that, you know, because we're reading the Bhagavatam. You know, okay, you're just bhakti, you just chant. And Prabhupada said, no, the bhaktis are just not simply sentimental, just like that Prakashananda was thinking. These bhaktis are simply going around. No. So Prakashananda found that out from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Prakashananda and Bhattasarva Boma, they were great gyanis, Sankhya yogis, they knew so many things. But after they were defeated by Mahaprabhu, that Vedanta Sutra, you're speaking Vedanta Sutra for a week, but no, I didn't understand it, you don't come to the right conclusion. And he gave the conclusion, right, in so many verses. Well, we don't know how much Mahaprabhu spoke, that Kaviraj says that you cannot even what he knew, he couldn't put in one book. He knew way more than he put in Chaitanya-mrita. That Mahaprabhu was doing in an hour, even Anantadev cannot describe what he's doing in 1 hour, what to speak of 48 years. Or Dore, there's one verse about the Upanishads, that without getting to the point of bhakti, then all your Upanishad knowledge is very far away. You don't really understand it. Simply, one has to get beyond this argument that Vedanta Sutta describes it, right? beyond argument, what's that verse? Shabda. Anabrita, not that one. The one that's Tarko Apatishta. By argument, you don't establish anything. Tarko Apatishta. Should they all be that Mahabharata is quoting Vedanta Sutra, or Vedanta Sutra is quoting Mahabharata? One or the other. Pratishtana, yeah, okay, so anything. Was that, I mean, that's an explanation. I mean, all right, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.